Hi, you're listening to the TL Podcast. My name is Thomas Le Huyen, and I am interviewing someone who seems ordinary, but who is achieving extraordinary things. That is the quest of this interview. Hi, I'm here with David Craddock, who runs Wisebury and more. Hi, David, how you doing?
Hey, Thomas. Yeah, I'm doing very well.
Well, mate, you're here because I want to talk to you about the Property Management Team of the Year. It's a big award, and you seem to be there almost every year. So this year, I'm going to try and find out maybe if there's a bit of a nugget that you can share with us about why your team's that efficient and why you guys achieve this like almost year in, year out, okay?
Sure. It was a great honour to win the award. We've been pushing towards that for the last couple of years. I think we last won the team award back in 2019.
Right.
And I think we're probably off the boil a bit for a couple of years. We had COVID, we moved office, then I had some staff changes.
Yeah, COVID really hit Enmore pretty badly,
it
wasn't
did,
it?
Yeah. Yes. Inner West, I mean, the rents just got smashed. We had vacancies. Yep. And I think rents went backwards,
asking rents by about
20%.
Yes.
So that put a big dent in our income, plus increased vacancies. You know, we had stuff, some of the stuff was vacant for a couple of months trying to get it away, you know.
Yes.
So that's a bounce back now. I think that combined, then we had, because probably that dragged on for a couple of years, really.
Yes.
And we had, you know, the waves of COVID coming and going and all those silly restrictions and lockdowns and God knows what else.
Yeah.
And then I had a couple of staff changes too, which probably a little bit of coming and going there in property management, which was sort of a little unusual because generally our property management team's quite stable. You know, you don't get a great deal of turnover. But anyway, look, that's, you know, probably going back 18 months, 2 years now. And over that time, the last 2 years, we've sort of, I guess, knuckled down. You know, as I said, the rents have bounced back. People have started returning to the inner west. Rents are starting to get back, grow again.
Yes.
The new recruits of who I put on board were both, one was had previous experience. The other one was starting from scratch. So they're working well together as a team. They're learning, and it's sort of gelled back together as a good team.
Mate, and that's a very good resume, but I'm going to take you and ask some more questions. All right, so let's go slowly.
Okay.
Let's go back to the night before the winner was announced and when the winner was announced. Do you want to take us through your emotions and maybe the emotion of the team?
Yeah, look, at the awards the previous year, we were sitting having a chat and the girl said, "We've got to win an award next year, David." I said, "Okay, well..." Let's aim for it, which was probably a property management team of the year or a property manager, one of those awards. So I said, we just got to work towards it. I said, we've got to build our numbers. We've got to get our systems in place and everything. And
so what happened on the night? Were they like excited? Were you excited?
This current night? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I thought, yeah, I think we're in with a, you know, reasonable chance.
Yes.
I was quite really confident. And they're asking me, do you think we're going to win? Do you think we're going to win? I said, I got no idea.
Which is good though, because it builds excitement in
it
the team.
It does, yeah. Yes. And I said, we'll just wait till it's announced. I've got no more idea than you have. So
did you get into like drinking a few glasses more than them to make sure you could forget, or what's happening?
Oh no, I had a few wines and a few beers and that, and some of the girls probably had a couple more than they
should.
Maybe they should, yeah. Settle the nerves or whatever. I don't know.
Yes.
But I don't know, had a good night. Yeah, so look, everyone was really over the moon when the announcement was made. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. They were very happy. Yeah. So I was too. It was great. We've, you know, as I said, we've put in a good effort the last 12, 18 months, you know, to get things up and running and ticking over smoothly.
Yeah.
New staff have settled in. Yeah.
Yes. So, but when a team wins like this, right, they all get excited, they all clap the whole lot, but a lot of things happen after you sit down. Like when you come off the stage with the award, what were some of the comments that went around?
Yeah, well, it sort of varied a bit. Some of us said, "Oh, we were overly excited that we did win the award."
Yes.
A couple of them did mention they were quietly confident that we would win, which was good.
Yes.
Yeah. So they know that they'd been working, you know, working towards it. But I think it's great. It's recognition, you know, that they have done, they've done a great job to win that award, and I think they certainly appreciate the recognition by getting the award that from the effort they've put in during the year and more. As I said, I was quietly surprised. You know, yes. I thought we were in with a chance, and I was very happy for them.
Yeah, you're very big in cycling. Yeah, I mean, you're cycled like two or three times a week. So I just want to ask you: this is a team effort. It's like a peloton in cycling, right?
Yeah.
So, what was the winning factor you reckon of this peloton this year?
The peloton, the winning factor. Well, I guess in a peloton,
it's a French word, you know, peloton.
Yeah, peloton. Yeah. Everyone has to have a turn. Do their turn.
That's true.
And I think they've all stepped up and done that. I've had some of the new members, Kirk, who's looking after our commercial now. He's tall,
that dude.
He's tall, yeah.
He's 3 meters tall or something.
Or 4 meters maybe. he's fitted in well, and he's as I said, taking control of that and working well with the clients and everything, and I'm extremely happy with what he's doing. Emma G's been with us for a couple of years now, and she, prior to her starting, had no Pyrmont experience, and she's like, so hungry to learn. She's in it everything, and she's learnt a lot, and she's progressing extremely well. And even our new recruit Cody, who was again, she's started from the bottom, and she's. Again, she's hungry to learn, keen to learn, and she shows some foresight, which is great. That people don't sit there and wait to be told. You can see that they're showing a bit of foresight. I've done this. Should I do this? Yeah, you're on the right track, and that's really encouraging to see people using a bit of their grey matter and thinking for themselves rather than coming to me all the time. Oh, should I do this? What should I do? And I think that's important in property management, because so many people will ask me for an opinion or something, and then that way it absolves them of the responsibility. Oh, David told me.
Yes, it does.
Whereas it's as I said, it's great to see people thinking for themselves to say, should I do this? And you think, you're on the right track. Excellent, that's great.
Yes.
And that's I really like to see that attitude in people, because I know these people will go somewhere because they've got a bit of nous to think for themselves and make decisions.
But does a property management team behave like a peloton? Like, is there at some stage a new leader? Is there some stage somebody else who takes and they like pull the whole team forward?
Yeah, I think so, because as I said, the people I mentioned, other staff can see that they're starting to move forward a bit. So they think, oh, I better lift my game sort of thing, and it keeps them moving.
Yeah.
And it's like in any peloton, you get someone who's having bludging occasionally. You say, come on. Yep. Step up and have your turn. They've been on their back drafting all day or something.
How different is it to a sales team, David? I mean, you've won the award this year, so you would know very well the difference between the two.
Yeah, it's sales team, the difference between the two. They've still got to work together.
Yes.
There are a lot of parallels, I think, between property management and sales, looking at the duties you've got to do, and it is a team effort. Like you're in your sales, you've got your prospecting, your listings, and the recruits start off doing a lot of prospecting work, and then you're working with a sales team, listing appointments and everything. So they're the new recruits are learning the sales process and that. But again, it is a matter of everyone doing their bit. In the thing, it's just like if you've got a sales team, and if someone's not prospecting, well, that's going to filter through to the rest of the team.
Yep.
If a salesperson's not doing his market reviews, that's going to affect the overall team results. So, everyone's got to do their bit too.
Yeah. But do you find that in property management, the peloton seems to stay together? The team seems to move as one. Where in sales, there are sometimes an escapee, like one that's just going to take off and leave the team behind. I mean, is that the difference?
Yeah, I think for your analogy, the property management peloton is probably a bit more refined.
Yes.
I don't know whether that's because of the two things, was just the people that are in the peloton, so to speak, or whether it's because you're doing two different you know, sales versus property management. I guess I haven't given a great deal of thought to that aspect of it, but...
but that's what happens in these podcasts. I always put people on the spot.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, we don't want to give winners like an easy time, you know. They're going to cop a bit of a hard time. I mean, it's one thing to win. You're going to have to share some ideas now, man.
Share some ideas. Okay, share some ideas.
So let's have a look at this. I know that your business in property management was actually decimated by at least 20% during COVID, especially with these... You know, rent, what is it, where you have grace, right?
Yeah, rent-free periods and stuff like that, yeah.
And then you have, right after COVID, people going, bye-bye, I don't like this industry, you know, it's too hard, it's too this. How did you go about rebuilding it in the last 2 years and now be a force to deal with?
Well, I guess first it was a matter of getting the right people on board. Because I had a couple of people sort of came and go. They might have been there for 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months, and out the door again.
Yes.
So it's getting the right people. And it's hard in this environment. I've always found, like, from a recruiting point of view, I've been in this game for many years.
Yep.
And we used to, you'd advertise a PM job and you'd get, you know, quite a good number of, you know, responses. And whereas in recent years I've found the responses in your, you know, when you're recruiting, the quantity is much lower, and probably the quality is a lot lower too. and I've always probably leant towards getting some fresh blood and training them up rather than getting someone who's already fully, you know, trained and bringing him across.
Right.
I mean, in Kirk's case, doing the commercial, he was already in the game and familiar with commercial, but, you know, both with the others, they're just, you know, fresh into real estate.
Yes.
And I suppose that way they don't bring any bad habits.
Wow, so you're daring. So you do take new people into property.
It's
a very legalized world. You need to be a solicitor these days to run a rent roll, right? So new people, man, that's a lot to work
with. It is. I mean, I've been in this, you know, for many years. I remember when I first started. I mean... It's just the legislation was very, very basic. That was
two pages.
Yeah, it was. It literally was. Yeah, you had about a 4-page lease agreement. There were no tribunals or anything like that. And it's just, you know, between the tenancy legislation has just become so onerous. All the compliance is another whole area. And then with all the other, you know, compliance in property, plus in the industry compliance, you know, we've got to have all this, you know, the supervision guidelines and all this stuff decked out and everything. Whereas, you know, back in the old days, well, that just stuff didn't exist.
Yes.
And in that sense, it was a bit easier. But I've found over the years, particularly in recent times, and I don't know whether it's the demographics in the area where we are operating, but there's been a lot more stability in tenancies. Don't seem to get the massive amounts of turnover we used to get years ago.
Right.
Whether that's because we're running in a much tighter rental market now, and that's a trend I've seen over the years, gradually. It's funny, like, rental returns have gradually decreased over the years, you know, on your capital value.
Yes.
But despite everyone's crying about how expensive rents are, you know, your returns are just diminishing. I mean, when I first started, you know, people used to think 7 or 8, 9% rental return. Now we're down to 3% if you're lucky, sort of thing.
Yes.
I guess getting back to the question, it's, you know, training up new people, I find, as I said, this is the way we like to do things, and that's the standard we set, sort of thing. Because if you're being people in there, some of them tend to go back to their old habits. So I used to do it this way, you know, I know better, that sort of thing. I've had good success. You get a few duds every now and then, but it's just, you know, it's like anything, sales, recruiting too. It's a numbers game. You get some duds, you get some good ones, and just a matter of when you do get a good one, you just try and hang on to them. And
no, but I think that you shared with us something pretty important. So you have a procedure. And whether they knew or not, you want them to just stick to that level.
Yeah.
And then from that procedure, it's easy to get the peloton, the whole team to move as one, because you don't have one cycling his way that direction, one taking off halfway into the race. You know, you have everyone doing the same thing by the book, the procedure.
Well, exactly,
book.
A procedure, and it is important. And by having those set procedures, each one in the team knows, well, okay, that's the direction we should be heading, sort of thing. And
yes.
Not everything, oh, I can do it this way. No, I prefer to do it that way.
Yes.
And that way you lose track. So
okay. Now, one of the things I find the hardest is, how do you check the work of individual teams? I mean, you have, what is it? How many have you got in your property, in your rent roll?
My official number is just under 700.
All right. So that's, I mean, with the legalities that we need to have ready, the ingoing, the routines, the photos of the outgoing, matching ingoing and all this stuff, how do you check at leadership level? Because you give people a portfolio. Like, is in your office, like, everyone was got a portfolio, or do we have a specialized job?
Portfolios.
Okay, so
so
do you do random check? Do you have managers to random check? Yeah. So, can you tell us a bit more about this?
I'll just go out. With a few properties coming vacant each week, and I'll just go. I won't do all of them, but I'll just go and check, have a wander through.
No.
And just a quick walk through. I don't check the documentation, but if I see anything that doesn't look right, I'll just go back to the property manager and that. When I'm out and about, I'll just occasionally block a flat through. I manage might stop and just have a walk around, make sure everything is,
Right.
They're on top of things, that sort of stuff. Yeah,
I've never heard of that. So you visit those properties as if they were yours?
Yeah, I'll just go and have a look if I'm in the area, yeah. So, I mean, as I said, I've been this long time, and I've been caught out before. I've had a client ring up. So I went past my house the other day. The lawns were, 6 foot high or whatever it might be.
Yes.
So you need to do that. You need to be on top of it. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah. What about the documentation now these days, David? Because back in your days, no need for documentation, right? Just have to remember the key number. But these days, there's so much to document, right?
There is, yeah. Again, yeah, we're condition reports, all that sort of stuff. Before we use, it's inspection manager or whatever it is, and it's all digital. And I'll browse through one of those occasionally, but I think because I started my career in property management, and so I suppose I've got a bit of an affiliation with it, and I know a great relationship with a lot of the old clients we have too. So I sort of stick my nose in every now and then to, because I'm talking to them too, and they might ask me a few questions. So that's probably one of the reasons I do my little random checks here and there, just to make sure things are.
Yep. But I'm going to give you some real stuff. How do you know a seller has called you for some feedback, and how do you know that they've been called back? What if it's so easy for the property manager, especially if they're running about 200 properties, to go, all done, dealt with. But how do you random check that?
I will speak to the clients. Sometimes, well, it's a few things, ways I do it. I'll speak to the clients every then. I might just think.
You do ring, speak to
ring,
the clients?
Ring, ring them up every now and then and say hello.
Wow.
I'll occasionally look at the documents. Yeah, I might pull out a periodic inspection someone's done. Just have a quick look through that. That's probably the two. And I even, from a print, I'll scan through the arrears once a week just to see if there's any, problem cases out of bit. But, as I said, it's those systems. The team know I've got to jump on those arrears, three times a week, go through and, keep on top of them.
Yeah, that's
rule is 14 days. Notice goes out straight away.
That is interesting.
I said, it's like anything. It's you've got to get the team in the habit of doing it. Once you get in the habit of doing it, it becomes a natural thing to do it each week. Monday morning, check the arrears. Wednesday, whatever it is,
Do you have a manager of managers? Do you have someone checking over that first, and then you do the random ones? Or
probably Emma's. She probably does a bit more than I do, but I still do randoms. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, she
like
keeps
that.
On that.
Yeah. I didn't know that. So, just tell me what happens when you find someone missing out, and what is the worst mistake in property management?
The worst mistake. Probably where you get into trouble is just not letting your client, if there is an issue, not getting your client, letting them know.
Not keeping them in the loop, you mean?
Exactly, yes. Yeah, not keeping them in the loop. Okay. Because what happens, if there's a problem, I always say the longer you leave her, the bigger the problem gets.
Yes.
Whereas if you notify your client straight away, hey, we've got an issue here and we are doing this, they think, okay, this is under control. But if you don't tell them and it blows up a week down the track, 2 weeks down the track, why didn't you tell me? And the next minute you've got a major problem. Yeah.
Okay. So let's imagine I am your property manager and there was an issue, but I didn't notify the landlord and you somehow found out. I mean, how do you deal with me?
Well, I'd invite you in for a chat and say, well, yeah, okay, you know, this is the same.
Is there, any whip or any guns or any button in the chat?
Not a first time. No. Second run, I might get a baseball bat out.
Yep.
But no, it's just a matter of, tell me what's happening. How has this happened? And find out why, or perhaps why they haven't notified their client, or what they've done about it, or whether they're ignored it. I don't know. But yeah, you just got to have a chat with them and find out and follow through there. And then I'll keep an eye on it and make sure it does get rectified. And if need be, you know, put something in place so it doesn't happen again.
Okay. You know, so what if it happens again?
If it happens again, well, then I've got a problem as to why. If it gets back to the staff member who hasn't done something, well, then, you know, we've got some disciplinary thing. I've got to, you know, put something, pen to paper and say, well, yep, you know, it's not good enough.
So you take it pretty seriously for your clients?
Yeah, you do. I mean, you know, it's hard to get clients and you've got to build their trust. And once you build their trust, it just makes our job so much easier.
Yeah.
So you've got to maintain that trust by, as I said, keeping them up to date with what's happening. If there is an issue,
yes,
they know that we're addressing it. Because problems do happen. I mean, it's a fact of life. I mean, you know, things go wrong, things break and that. So, again, it's assuring them that we are onto it and that we're not ignoring the issue. That's
But the gem that you just shared with me is just crazy. You have 700 properties and you yourself, as a leader, do call these clients every now and then. That is just crazy.
I'm not doing 700 properties each week, but I'll go out one day and I might look at a couple of things that are vacant.
Yes.
And just pick a couple of random ones and go and have a look.
Do you know, because I'm just thinking, if I have a property to be managed by you and you did that with me, you just got me for life. Because I go, hold on, if the boss himself is that keen and goes out and, I mean, and does these things, I know that the staff's going to be doing it all the time. I really like it. So what's Cody's the junior in there. So what's the aspiration of the team for next year? Obviously to win it again. But did anyone come in and say, I want to have this, I want to go for this or what?
Yeah, well, a couple of us suggested probably one of the property manager of the year. So I've got a couple of... You'll have a couple of...
What about the newie? I just want to see whether... Do the newie have more energy, inspiration, go-getting than the rest of the team or not?
Oh, what about more? But it's there. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah.
Did Cody say, like, you know, I'm going to beat you all? I'm going to be...
I don't know if she said she was going to beat us all. I think she... no, she's progressed extremely well. She's learning and everything, but... I think perhaps from her perspective, she probably thinks the others have got much more experience than her and probably a better chance. But
yes,
you can learn. And as I said, she's coming along well. She's, you know, has that foresight to, you know, ask questions and think, which you know, it's like clients. Yeah, clients, which is one of my clients said to a previous property manager. He said, come to me with a solution, not a problem. Yeah. And that's what I said. Well, that's what it's all about. Okay, this is a problem, and then this is a solution. And if you do that,
I like it.
You get there. And that's what it's all. That's what we're there for. I mean, you don't want to, you know, you want me to ring you and say, "Oh, Thomas, hot water's broken. What do you want me to do?" I'm going to say, "Thomas, hot water's burst. Okay, it's going to cost you $900 for this or $890 for that. Which one do you want to do? Do that one. Done." And that's what it's about. Go. There is a problem. Some problems will arise. They always do. But take your solution with you. That's it.
Yes. So there's a problem with hot water. You immediately have a system that gets like two or three quotes. And so when you call the client, there's a solution with you.
Yeah. Most of the routine stuff we know because you're doing the volume we're doing, yep. you know, it's going to cost you $890 yep. for a 50-litre tank or whatever it is. You know, you can just say to them straight away, that's what yep. it's going to cost you.
Now, here's a loaded question, but I need to ask you anyway. How does a sales team, how did the sales team behave that night? And how could you get the sales team now to start firing the same way, at the same level as your property management team?
Yeah. I think I've got to do a lot more work on my sales team, I guess. Yeah. I think that...
How were they that night? Because there's always that kind of silent competition within your own team, right? The property management and sales.
I guess, they're true. They're probably a little bit subdued, but it's, you know, as I said to them, it's a matter of getting out there and doing it. And that's probably one of my problems. You're trying to wear two hats and...
Right.
You think you can do it, but it's always a lot more challenging than you you think and you anticipate anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
But there's my project for this year. Get that one firing.
Good. Okay. Listen, I always ask people one last question.
Sure.
And here's the question for you. How do you know that you're leading an inspired life?
How do I know that I'm leading an inspired life? I guess if I can go home each day knowing things are running smoothly, you know, team are pretty happy. They're always happy, but, and I think I can go home and, you know, relax and just go off and do my other things, go sailing or ride my bike or whatever else I want to do, without having this constant worry about what's happening back in the office. It just frees your mind up, I think. Because when you've got problems, you know, it bogs you down, it weighs down on you. You go home thinking, oh, I've got to fix this.
Yes.
You know, this has been, if I can get out of the office knowing that all that stuff's behind me, everything's under control, then I can go off and enjoy doing my other activities, which I think are good because I find it helps me relax because you switch off from work and you think about sailing or cycling when you're out there, and it does really help you to switch off from work for a few hours, which I think helps your mental well-being and makes you a bit more relaxed and that.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
It helps you recharge to come back on the next day.
Yeah. I told you I was going to be last question, but I lied. Okay. The Now, I know that you're in your 60s now and you've always been an inspiring person to me because you're still sailing at a competitive level.
Yeah.
So do you want to share with us something that's going to happen in July, I think, in your life?
That's in September.
September, I'm sorry, yes.
Or in my dinghy sailing Laser, or also known as Nilka, I'm with a few of my sailing buddies. We're going to Italy for the World Masters Championships. But I've got to qualify for that. I'm going down to Melbourne actually next week for the Australian Masters Championships. So that's a qualifying event. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm heading down there on, I think, Thursday next week. Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to have to go slowly, right? You're going too fast on here now. So use the boat you're sailing on. It's a two man boat.
No, it's a single man.
Oh, it's a single one.
Olympic class dinghy.
So you said that you're going with a buddy.
Yeah, there's a I think
so there's another mate of yours going overseas as well with you?
There's about 10 of us from our club that are sailing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a single one. Now, do you fly over there with your boat?
No, you charter a boat over there, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, and to qualify, what do you have to do?
Well, I have to, the regatta in Melbourne's a qualifying event. What happens, they have X number of slots.
Yes.
For competitors.
Yes.
And sometimes that's oversubscribed, sometimes it's under. If it's under subscribed, no problems. If it's oversubscribed, will they go through the qualifying events and select the entrance that way? Yeah.
Yeah, but for example, the race in Melbourne that you're doing, what is it? Is it a time one? Is it a distance one? Or is it just
over,
you have to finish?
It's a regatta over 4 days. We have 10 races over 4 days.
Yes.
You can discard one or two. I think if we sail 10 races, you can discard two. And they take
the
your results
eight.
On there. Top eight races, and you get points for each race, and they look at where you rank.
Okay, so it's who comes first, second, third. That's how it works.
Yeah, they're
so
going to
have
priority.
So there's no time kind of limit.
Not time, no. It's okay. Just on your overall positions,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's very
overall
nice.
Scores, yeah.
And on top of that, you're also cycling.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
People
yeah.
need to know that. How many Ks you do a day? I mean, I think you do in a day something that I do in a year.
On my I aim for 100 kilometres a week, which is split into usually two rides, Thursday and Sunday, about 50, between 50 and 60 kilometres we do, yeah.
Mm.
It's not, it sounds like a long way, but it's not really.
But that's why you're so fit. That's amazing. Thank you so much, David, for sharing with us.
Not a problem at all. Happy to share with you, Thomas.
Thanks. This is David Craddock from Emore. Thank you.